welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, horror. Later on, The Sealed Book from 1945, but first a broadcast of Lights Out called The Archer. First heard on CBS on April 13th, 1943.
Lights out. Everybody. Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. I want to urge you particularly to stay with us after the play is over tonight, for a reason you won't regret. Today we have a simple story, as simple as a bullet hole through a man's heart or a knife through his heart.
And now? Lights out. Everybody.
You know, Al, I kind of wish I had a book.
Huh? What do you say?
I said I wish I had a book.
Yeah?
Well, I tell you, I do.
What do you want with a book?
What do you think? The thought at your fat head.
Don't get so funny.
Sitting here in this lousy shack hour after hour, waiting, waiting. I tell you, it's enough to drive a man crazy.
What's the matter, Professor? You begin to remember those three guys you'll knock off in free?
Shut up, shut your face, shut up, shut up.
Hey, a guy like you got too much reading in your head and not enough money inside where it counts. You never get no place in the Rockies.
I'll get as far as you will. You've cold-blooded...
Shut your mouth. What you need is a ball. You bet your life. Yes, sir, I tell you this,
wait.
You know... Huh?
Listen.
What's the matter with you?
I thought I heard...
Heard what?
I thought I heard outside. Maybe we had a...
Oh, stay where you are. I'll go. Heather, something. Heather, this something. Nobody there.
I thought I heard...
You hear nothing. See nothing.
I suppose not.
You got the jitters you're trying to give them to me, eh?
I tell you, I thought I heard something.
Well, stop thinking. This place is perfect hideout. Nobody know about it but you and me and Duke.
Duke. When the devil's he?
Don't worry, Duke will get here.
But will he?
What do you mean, will he?
That's a lot of dough, $50,000.
Oh, you think maybe Duke pull a double cross, huh?
I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying that $50,000 is a lot of money.
Listen, 10 years in Alcatraz, I was in the same cell block as Duke. You know that?
Well?
Well, I get to know that guy inside and out. I know every idea he got in his head.
And I suppose double-crossing isn't among those ideas, eh?
Listen, Duke is one strong guy, see? Lots of muscle, lots of nerve. One tough guy. He got so much nerve and so much muscle... There ain't no room for the double cross.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Sure, I'm right. I'm always right. That's why you and me and Duke is in the big dough now. I'm always right. And just because I'm right, in a little while, we three are going to have another 50 grand to split up, see? How do you like that, Professor?
Splitting up dough, I always like that.
Sure, I never seen nobody like the dough the way you do. I thought you still got the first dollar you ever make in the Rockies, huh?
Wait.
What's the matter now? You got the jumps again?
No. Listen.
Oh, that's just the dame.
Oh, yeah.
She got a lot of wits in her, eh, Professor?
3 days.
Yeah, a lot of good is going to do as soon as the Duke gets here, eh, Professor? A lot of good is going to do with that top stuff. A lot of good.
I got to stop crying. I got to. My eyes, day after day. How many days has it been? It's so dark in here. If I could only have a little light, just a little. I got to stop crying. I got to think. You know, what's the use of thinking? They'll kill me. They'll kill me. I know they will if they'd only listen to me. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Crying. That dame's making me sick. Why doesn't she stop? Been going on like that for days.
Don't worry, Professor. She stopped crying pretty soon. You bet your life. You wait till the Duke gets here with a 50 grand.
Yeah? Then maybe he won't.
Oh, what do you mean he won't? The boss said he pays 50 grand for knocking off this double-crossing dame. And 50 grand is what we're going to get.
50 grand?
Yeah, and a cheap at the price. say, if that dame blew off her mouth like she says she's gonna do, the boss is going up to Alcatraz for 20 years. $50,000 for saving 20 years out of a guy's life. Plenty cheap, I bet you lie.
But that dame, she's got a lot of friends.
What difference that make to us? Nobody ever tied us up with the others we knock off for boss before, did they?
No.
You leave it to the Duke. He's one smart guy. When he finds the shack over the river, he finds a gold mine. You knock him on the head, you drop him in the river, under the ground they go. They never come up again, you bet your life.
That's true. They never do come up, do they?
No, not in 1,000 years. The river on this ground, she runs deep and fast. Nobody we ever throw in ever come up again. Nobody, nobody.
When I press my ear against the wall, I can hear the water running like it was a river under the ground. There used to be a river near the house when I was a little girl. I used to play near the water. And there was sun and light. I gotta see the light again. I got it. How long have I been here? I never see anybody. I never hear of just the water running, running far below. No, I won't listen anymore. They'd only let me talk to them. If they'd only let me make a deal, I wouldn't testify against them. I wouldn't. I want to live. I gotta live. Oh, I'm so scared. I can't be scared. If I start being scared, I'll go on getting more and more scared. I'll begin to see things in the dark. The dark is full of awful things. No, I mustn't think of it. I'll go crazy thinking. I mustn't be scared. I mustn't be scared.
Okay, Professor, a 4 for you and 1 for me. Read 'em and weave.
2 pair, kings up, huh?
You bet.
Wait a minute, hands off the cash, pal.
Huh?
Read these cards and weep.
Oh, my God, 3 queens.
Thank you.
He draw 4 cards, he gets 3 queens. Hey, you got a luck.
Have I?
Sure. Meeting up with me and Duke.
Duke, where in the devil is he?
Oh, you start that again. I tell you, Duke, get here. 1 o'clock. That's 3 more hours.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't get here?
I told you before, the dame goes in the river, we scrum out of here.
But Duke said not to touch her until he got here.
Yeah, but me, I ain't taking no chances waiting around there anymore. Only time dames, they don't talk is when they're under the ground or under the river.
Yeah.
3 hours from now, if the Duke come back with the boss's door or not, in the river that dame goes, and that's that. And that river, she cover up everything. Everything. You bet.
I was smart. Smart getting into the racket. Easy money. Yeah. Smart. And now they're going to kill me. Oh, my head. It hurts so. I must be going crazy. No. No, I mustn't think like that. Quiet in here. If I could only hear someone saying something, saying anything, I wouldn't feel as if I was going crazy. I wouldn't think that all the world is dead and I'm alone. I hear something. No. No, it can't be. I hear voices. People. People. They've come to help me. Listen, everybody. Listen, here I am. Here I am in here. Listen to me. Help me. Help! They've gone. There's nobody. In my head. It was all in my head. I'm going crazy. I am. I am. Oh, help me, somebody. Help me. I gotta get out of here where it's light, where the sun's shining. Listen to me, somebody. I'm going crazy here in the dark. Help me. Help me. Help me.
I will. I will.
Voice. I hear it again in my head.
I will help thee, my lady.
No. There's nobody here.
I tell thee, I will help, my lady.
There's nobody here. I know there isn't. No door open, no light.
I come to thee from darkness.
There's nobody here. I know it. I know it. The place is so small. You're not here. No one.
I tell thee, I will help thee.
But I hear that voice so clear.
Look before thee, my lady. The fear should not be thine.
I can't quite make out who... Who are you?
My name, perhaps thou hast heard the name before, is Philippe de Martival.
Philippe de...
have left her. Better so. There's bloody work to do.
What's the matter, Professor? You think you're going to find nerve in the bottle?
And drink what I please.
Okay.
He said he'd be here by 1 o'clock.
He will.
It's half an hour to one now.
So there's still a half hour.
Something went wrong.
I mean, it's something wrong in your head. Duke will be here. I bet you 10 grand on that.
But 1 o'clock?
It's 30 minutes from now, so shut up your face and quit squawking. You're making me sick.
Yeah, wait. Where are you going?
Out to the road. Too much yelling here.
Oh, wait. Don't go. Nope. Greasy rat, you're running out on me. I haven't got nerve, huh? Got nerve for anything as long as there's money in it. Said I could never make money, huh? I'll show him. 500,000. Well, I have 1,000,000 by the time I quit this lousy racket. 500,000, I'll be able to buy anything from... Blasted clock. What time? 1:45. 15 more minutes. He's got to get here. He's got to. If he doesn't, Al will want me to help him kill her and... What's the matter with me? Duke will get here. He always gets here, sure. He'll do the job. Duke likes killing. Cold. The door must be... No, the door's closed. Al must have come in. Al, is that you?
De Martival.
Huh?
De Martival.
Who said that?
I
see no one.
I am here.
You? You're where?
The coldness at thy side.
Oh, that bottle. I've had too much. Yes, that's it. Too much.
Weak. Aye, worm-like thing.
And what is I do here? Blasted bottle. What voice is in my head, will you? Not mine, not mine, not mine.
Pray to thy God.
Huh?
I did hear, I heard. Pray to thy God.
There is someone here. I can't see you, but you are here, aren't you?
I came back in her agony.
I hear you, and yet you aren't here. Oh, what's wrong with me? Things are what they are. There's no one who can talk without being...
Use your eyes to see.
Huh? Huh? Oh. Yes. Yes, I see you. You've been hiding my eyes. Yes, I see you. Tell me, what do you want? Who are you? How did you get in here?
Out of the darkness. Through her agony.
Darkness? Agony? What are you talking about? Oh, my eyes. I can hardly see you. Blurred.
I weary of you.
Weary of me? But... What's that? Something in your hand? Yes, I see it. It's getting clearer and clearer. No. How can that be? A bow. A bow? What are you going to do with it?
I hit the arrow.
No, don't draw it back. Stop pointing that thing at me, the arrow. It might...
Done. The worm no longer squirms.
Hey, Professor, I think the Duke is coming. I begin to see the headlights of a car down the road about a mile away. Hey, Professor, what's the matter? You don't...
Well, he ain't here, eh, Professor? In the other room, I bet you, hiding under the bed. Well, I think I'll go in and... And not to what to use.
What is... Wind. The door, she's shut. What's the matter with me? Me, I don't get the jumps. I'm afraid of nothing. Hey, Professor, come on out of that room there. Wake up. I want to talk to you.
There is little time for talk.
Who said that? Professor, that you? Oh, yeah, I see you. What for you hide on the floor? Come on, you get up. Get up or I kick your face in. Come on, get up. Professor, who do that to you?
De Martival.
Stand where you are.
Yes.
I got a gun on you. Stand still or I kill you.
Yes.
All right now, wild guy. I got to find out what you look like.
Come on in closer to the light.
No.
Listen, smart guy. I don't know how you get in here. I don't know what your racket is. But you listen to me. My name is Alcelotti. Maybe you heard that name before, huh?
No.
No, yes, no, yes. Talk a word. Who are you? What are you doing here? Come on across to the light.
I grow weary.
You grow what? What are you talking about? Come on close to the light, I tell you. And now keep your hands up. Up, I tell you. What do you think you're doing? Keep them up, I tell you. You're crazy. I got a gun on you. I'll blow you full of holes. What's the thing you got in your hand? Drop it, I tell you. Drop it. Okay. You're still standing there.
Meet thy God.
Meet my God? What's the matter with you? What are you set up for? Who are you? I get it. You got a bulletproof vest on, eh? Okay, wise guy, you ain't got no vest on your head. I'm going to blow... No, wait. What you doing? Wait a minute. Put down that...
So, the worm, the rat, one more.
Open up in there, Duke. Open up. It's about time you guys woke up. Well, what's the matter with you guys? Why don't you put on some light?
Put on some light?
Yeah, that's what I said, lights. Al, where are you?
Me, I'm here.
What's the matter with you guys? Saving dough and kerosene or something? Come on, light the lamps.
We can see.
Oh, yeah? It's one of you guys, owls. Now quit the gagging and put on some lights. We gotta work fast.
It is time.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think. We got to knock off that dame and get out of here quick.
There is time.
What are you guys doing? Putting on a brother act? I say we got to get out of here quick, and I mean quick. Well, maybe you guys want to fry in the chair, but I don't.
There is a time.
Stop saying that! What's the matter with you guys?
There is time.
Oh, I get it. You've been pouring the stuff down here, the both of you. Why, you're so stiff, you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Coming or going?
You lousy rats. I ought to blow the both of you apart. Me, I'm doing all the work. And what are you guys doing? Filling your insides full of cheap liquor like a couple of bindle stiffs. Now, come on. Get out your rod and let's get this over with.
Get this over with?
Yeah, over with. The dame, we got to get rid of her quick.
Rid of her quick?
Stop jabbering every word I say back at me. You hopheads. The boss gave me the dough, 50 grand. Now, we got to get that dame out of the river and quick.
Dame?
Yeah, dame. That squealing, double-crossing dame. Maybe you guys don't remember why we came out here. Maybe you think you came out here for a gin party, huh? Now, come on, Al. Come on, get out your gat and let's get going and get rid of that twist.
No.
What do you mean, no? Hey, wait a minute. You guys can't be that drunk. You're up to something. All right. Let's have it. Well, let's have it. What are you up to? What are you trying to pull? Come on, let's have a light in here. Let's see what you mugs are looking like. Well, are you deep? Light a candle.
Light?
Okay, I'll light one myself. But I'm warning you, mugs, don't start nothing. My rod works in the dark just as well as yours. Where's that candle? Well, answer me, where's the candle? Okay, just wait till I get a light. I'll make you guys talk. Yeah, here it is, the match. Yeah. There. Now I'm going to see what's eating you guys. Okay, now, Al, I want you... Al... How are I? Oh, there you are. What are you doing standing there against the wall? Yeah, and you, Professor. What's the matter with you guys? Why don't you say something? Well, quit staring at me without saying nothing. Okay, I'll come over there, and I'll show you. How? Professor. Your throat. Who did it to you? Who did it? What?
The Marteval.
Who said that? Answer me, who said that?
I
see you standing there. I see you. You did this to Alan, the professor. You did it.
I...
Why? Why did you do it? Now, stand where you are. I got a gat on you. Now, talk fast or I'll blow you apart. Come on, tell me why you did it.
I came through her agony out of the darkness.
What? What'd you say?
When you die, I return.
I die... You expect to knock me off, too, huh? Say where you are. Here we are. There. That'll stop you. You're going to kill me too, huh? Well, why don't you do it now? You're still standing there. I shot you. You're dead. Like dead. But they talked to me when I came in before. And they must have been dead then. How could they have... No. No, stay back, I tell you. You're dead. And dead. And the dead don't talk. Don't move. What are you pointing at me? What are you going to do with that thing? Don't point it at me. I ain't done nothing. I ain't...
Careful, boys.
There they are. Put them up, you. Put them up. Chief, what is it? What? Look at him. Ooh.
Dead. All three of them. And each with an arrow through his throat.
Doctor, how is she?
It's all right, Mr. Myers. Your daughter's going to be all right. Nothing physically wrong.
Thank heaven.
It was most fortunate the police got there when they did. Another few hours and the horror of that darkness in her mind... Well, I repeat, it was most fortunate.
But I heard through the door.
You're referring to her cries. Let me assure you that it's nothing. It was nothing but hysteria, a reaction to her horrible experience, that's all. But she'll be all right, you can believe me.
My poor little Ruthie. I hadn't seen her for years. And to find her again this way...
Oh, Mr. Myers, there's something I would like to ask you, if you don't mind.
That's so. What is it, Doctor?
In her hysteria, your daughter kept repeating a name. I've been wondering whether you can think of any reason for her saying it.
Name? Name? What name?
She kept saying it over and over again. I'm not quite sure, but I think it was... Yes, it was... Philippe de Matteval.
Philippe de Matteval?
Yes. Could he have had anything to do with what took place?
Well, no, of course not. Philippe de Matteval was an ancestor of mine, lived back in the days of the Norman Conquest, over 850 years ago. Oh, no. He had nothing to do with all this.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Claudette Colbert. If some of you are surprised at this sudden interruption of mine, please bear in mind that your neighbor's life or the life of that boy down the street has been far more drastically interrupted by this war. This interruption is not to ask you businessmen to close up your offices and tie hand grenades on your belts, take a bayonet in your hand and climb on an invasion barge. This interruption is not to ask you housewives to close up your homes or you mothers to send your children away to a safe place in the country while you and I shoulder a gun and go to join our husbands on some bloody battlefield of this world war. No. Others are doing the fighting and the dying for us. All you are being asked to do for a period of 3 weeks is to divert every cent which you don't absolutely need for food, shelter, and other necessities of life into the purchase of extra war bonds. Your government needs $13 billion at once. Each bond that you will buy during these 3 weeks will be not only an investment, but an insurance policy that our fathers and brothers and sons in the service will have every bullet and bomb and ship and tank and plane they will need in the coming invasion to win the fight for the sort of world you want to live in.
Thank you, Claudette Colbert. Now, Mr. Obler, getting back to tonight's play, wouldn't it be nice if our ancestors could avenge us? I haven't met any ancient ghosts ready to do battle for me.
On the contrary, Frank. Your ancestors battle for you every waking moment. I mean that literally. The freedoms you and all the rest of us enjoy right now, they came about not because we fought for them, but because somewhere in the past, some of our ancestors in this human family had the courage to fight for a better future. If we have to fight anew for that now, well, It doesn't take away the glory of the past battle. And since some of us still have some measure of freedom now, in spirit at least, those ancestors are fighting with us and for us.
And next week?
Well, a man is on trial for his life, accused of murder. As he waits for the jury to come in, he tries to reason out the events which led him into the predicament. The play propounds the interesting question as to whether the evil, such as Hitlerian, that is loose in the world today is a living thing. In other words, whether there is such a thing as evil which makes men evil, or whether evil comes from within men. But that's next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Oboler's Kill. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast, the one and only ironized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. Coupon number 17, ration coupon 17. Are you planning to use your shoe ration coupon to buy white shoes? If so, give them the best of care. Keep them clean with Energene Shoe White. No shoe white can make your shoes look whiter than Energene Shoe White. It's made with the very whitest pigment known, and it spreads so easily, dries so evenly, it gives your shoes the neat, well-kept look they must have to give you the most satisfactory wear. For the best of care for the white shoes you wear, remember Energene Shoe White. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 13th of April, 1943 on CBS. Writer-director Arch Obler mostly worked for the Lights Out series exclusively in 1943, though a month after that broadcast, on May 9th, on the NBC Blue Network, he directed and produced The Last Will and Testament of Tom Smith for the Free World Theater, a story about a pilot who was captured by the Japanese in World War II. Arch Obler would later showcase many more stories of the Second World War with his Arch Obler's Plays series, containing 26 broadcasts for Mutual, beginning in April of 1945. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the sealed book with the story To Have and To Hold, heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on August 12th, 1945.
The sealed book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of an old lady who for 40 years lived alone in a huge old New England mansion. A mansion in which death was the master. The tale is titled To Have and To Hold. Our story begins at a small New England railroad station, as a train stops to discharge a lone passenger. The passenger, a young, attractive girl of 20, looks about the station with an air of uncertainty.
Looking for a cab, miss?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, get right in. Here, I'll take your bag.
Thank you.
Where to, miss?
The Bradley Estate, please.
Could you say a Bradley Estate?
Why, yes. You know where it is, don't you?
Sure. Everyone does. In fact, I was just getting ready to go out there to deliver these packages.
Oh, good.
Miss, are you sure you want to go out to the Bradley Estate? But they ain't had a visitor in 40 years.
Why, that's funny.
You a Bradley?
Yes. My family lives in California, and none of us have ever seen our relatives here in the East. I'm attending college nearby and thought I'd pay my aunt a surprise visit.
Oh. Well, miss, I'd forget the idea if I were you. Take the next train back.
Oh, no. Not after I've come 70 miles. I'm not going back to college until I've seen my aunt. Driver, please tell me what you know about my aunt.
Well, just about the time I come to the village 10 years ago to drive this cab, the old servant your aunt used to send for supplies died.
Yes?
She didn't get another servant, but hired me to bring supplies out to the estate once a week.
I see. What does my aunt look like?
I don't know, miss. I ain't never seen her. No one has seen her for 40 years.
But you just said she'd hired you.
Well, she did, but not directly. A banker fella come down from Boston and hired me.
Didn't he go out to the estate to see her?
No. He just arranged things in the village and took the first train back to Boston. Once in a while, your aunt writes to him.
Oh. Well, what are in these packages you have for my aunt?
Well, some of them have food, but mostly it's things she's ordered for her husband. Clothes, cigars, and books, and... Well, in fact, I got a new suit for him right here. Best that money can buy, too. I ain't never seen him, neither.
Just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, ma'am. It certainly don't.
Jane stared into the fast-falling dusk, seeking her first glimpse of her father's birthplace. As they turned into a private road, she was able to make out the many towers of the old mansion and the hundreds of windows, behind which was the unknown and the secrets of 40 years.
I had no idea it'd be so large.
There's over 80 rooms in it. Used to be a showplace 40 years ago.
And the two of them live in that mansion? All alone?
Yeah.
There isn't a light showing in the whole house.
No, hardly ever is. Well, come on. We go in the back entrance here. Just follow me.
All right.
That's it. Now, I'll just set these packages I brought right down here on the porch. There.
What's in that box you're picking up?
A note from your aunt. Tell me what to bring for next week.
Oh.
Seems your uncle's running out of cigars. She wants me to order more.
You going to knock?
We're all right.
Surely she heard the car approach the house.
It ain't no use, miss. You better come back to the village with me.
No. No, perhaps she'd open the door if you were to leave me here alone. Won't you please go?
Well... just as you say, miss. I just hope you'll be all right.
Oh, I will. It's getting cold. I do wish she... She's unlocking it.
As the door slowly swung open, Jane saw her Aunt Olivia for the first time. Olivia stood with one hand white and tense gripping the door, while the other hand shakily held a lamp. The light revealed deep, savage lines in her strong face. Her voice trembled as she spoke.
What do you want?
I'm Jane Bradley, your brother Richard's daughter.
Richard's daughter?
Yes.
May I come in?
Yes. Yes, do. But we must be very quiet. I don't want to wake my husband.
Oh, yes, of course.
We'll go into the drawing room so as not to disturb him.
The light of the lamp cast an eerie glow in the great hallway as Jean followed her aunt into what had once been the most beautiful drawing room in New England. Jane's eye was caught by a faded portrait over the fireplace.
Whose portrait is that, Aunt Olivia? He's so handsome.
That's my husband, Christopher.
Oh.
And he's just as handsome today as he was then. Everyone's always loved and admired him.
I'm sure of that.
That costume he's wearing, it's the one he wore the night of the New Year's Eve masquerade ball. Come, come, my dear. I'll show you the ballroom.
And now to continue the story, to have and to hold, as it is written in the sealed book. Jane, a look of wonder on her face, followed her Aunt Olivia down a long, dark hall. A hall that was musty with decay. Olivia stopped and opened a large door.
This is the ballroom.
Why, it's so huge.
There were 500 people here that New Year's Eve. Oh, I can remember how beautiful the ballroom was.
And Olivia, the lamp held high, stood entranced, as though listening to strains of music of long ago at that gay New Year's Eve ball, listening to a younger and happier Olivia.
Oh, Chris, there's never been a ball like this, and I've never been so happy. Do you like my costume?
Your costume? Oh, yes, it's very lovely.
Thank you, darling. Oh, Chris, you look wonderful as a Spanish cavalier. The women can't keep their eyes off you.
Where's your cousin Amy?
Amy? Oh, the child is around somewhere. Chris, why don't we announce our engagement tonight? It would be a wonderful way to welcome in the year 1900.
No. Not tonight, Olivia.
Why wait? I want everyone to know you're mine.
Good evening, Olivia. Chris?
Oh, Amy. Oh, you look like a dream in that costume.
Thank you, Chris. Olivia, Judge Parker wants to see you for a moment.
Oh, very well. Will you excuse me, Chris?
Of course.
I'll be back in a minute.
Will you excuse me, Chris? I have to...
Amy, wait. Why have you been avoiding me lately?
I haven't been avoiding you. Chris, please let me go.
You know that I love you, don't you, Amy?
No, Chris. It's Olivia you love and are going to marry.
Olivia and I will never be married.
You don't know what Olivia's like when she can't get what she wants. And she wants you.
You do love me, don't you, Amy?
Yes, yes, but it's no use, Chris. Why, Olivia's my cousin. Her family brought me up.
Just leave everything to me.
I thought I'd never break away from Judge Parker. Oh, Chris, darling. He wanted to know when you and I were going to announce our engagement. Why, Amy, is anything wrong? You look ill.
No, I'm all right. I must see the housekeeper now. Please excuse me.
Olivia, I want to talk to you where we won't be disturbed. Can't we go into the drawing room?
Of course, darling. Come along. We won't be disturbed here. Now, what did you want to talk to me about?
Olivia, I can't go through with our marriage.
Oh, darling. Don't say that, even as a joke.
I'm not joking, Olivia. I've never loved you. If I've spoken of marriage, it was because there wasn't anyone else. But now there is.
Someone else? Who?
Amy.
Amy? So that's it. Well, she can't have you, do you hear? You're mine, and you always will be. And I'm not giving you up.
You haven't any choice. Amy and I love each other, and we're going to
no,
be married.
No, if I can't have you, no one else shall.
Oh, Olivia, you're hysterical. Put that letter opener
You're down. Mine, and no one else is going to get you. No one.
Olivia, give me that letter opener.
No one shall have you. No one.
Olivia, perhaps this will bring you to your senses.
Ow!
Look out, Olivia. Olivia. Olivia, speak to me.
How he
is she, Doctor?
She will be all right, won't she?
Well, it was quite a serious blow she got in the back of her head.
Oh, Doctor, she's regaining consciousness. Oh, Chris. Chris, where are you?
Here I am, Olivia.
Where? Why don't you put the lights on? It's so dark in here.
But the lights are...
Oh, Chris, why is it so dark? Why can't I see?
Now, Olivia, you're going to be all right. You've just lost your sight temporarily.
You mean I'm blind? Chris, where are you? Don't leave me.
I'm here, Olivia.
Oh, Chris, don't leave me. I'm frightened, terribly frightened.
No, you mustn't worry. You heard what Dr. Marshall said. You've only lost your sight temporarily.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel better. I know you are.
I'd better give you a sedative so that you can sleep. You two had better leave now.
You must get some rest, Olivia. I'll be back later.
Chris, you will come back. You will, won't you?
Yes, of course. Good night.
Good night, Olivia. Good night, Chris. Chris, what's happened is all my fault.
No, Amy, it's mine. It was I who struck her and caused her blindness.
Chris, no matter how we feel about each other, you can't leave her now that she's blind.
Yes, Amy, I know. Olivia and I will be married as soon as possible.
A few weeks passed. Then one day, a small group gathered in the dining room to see Chris and Olivia married. The guests all remarked how radiant and happy the bride appeared. As the minister asked the time-honored question, "Do you take this man to love and honor, to have and to hold as long as you both shall live?" The bride smiled happily as she agreed.
Is that you, Chris?
Yes, Olivia.
Oh, it's getting so that I can recognize everyone's footsteps, particularly yours. Where were you, darling? I've missed you so.
I was in the library, trying to work on my new book.
But you weren't in the library when I sent my maid down to find you. Where were you then?
Oh, I don't know. Probably walking in the garden.
You will spend the afternoon with me, won't you, Chris?
But I was planning to go back to work on my book this afternoon.
Oh, darling, can't you let it go until tomorrow? I'm so lonely without you.
All right, Olivia.
Thank you, darling.
I seem to be doing less and less work as time goes on.
Oh, please don't be angry. It's 2 months today since we were married.
2 months today.
Oh, and they've been the happiest months in my whole life. Oh, Chris, I couldn't live without you.
Hello, Chris. Where's Olivia?
She's in her room.
Oh, Chris, you don't look well. Is anything wrong?
Amy, I can't go on this way anymore. I've had about as much of Olivia in these past 2 months as I can stand.
Oh, please, Chris, you mustn't talk like that.
You don't know what it's like. She always wants to know where I've been, who I've seen, what I've been doing. She doesn't let me alone for a moment.
But you mustn't feel that way about it, Chris. Well, she loves you.
Well, if it's love, it's an insane love. She's smothering me to death with her constant attention. Why, I haven't been able to work on my book for 2 weeks now.
Yes, I know.
I can't escape from her for a moment. When I'm not with her, she has the servants spying on me.
Oh, no, Chris, you must be mistaken.
I'm not, I tell you. I can't go on this way much longer. I just can't.
Is that you, Amy?
Yes, Olivia. I've come to read to you.
Where's Chris? What's he doing?
He's in the library writing.
But I wanted him to read to me this evening.
Now, Olivia, you know how anxious Chris is to finish his book.
With all the money I have, he doesn't need to waste his time writing books.
It's more than just money, Olivia. Chris writes because he has the desire to.
Yes. And you encourage him, don't you, Amy? Well, I won't have it. Why, Amy, you're wearing my brooch.
This brooch isn't yours. It's a duplicate I had. Olivia, how did you know I was wearing this brooch? Oh, Olivia, you can see. You're no longer blind.
Well, what if I can? It's none of your business.
All this time you've been pretending, keeping it a secret from Chris and all of us.
I suppose now you're going to tell him. Then he won't feel obligated to me anymore, and the two of you can go away together. That's what you're going to do, isn't it?
I am going to tell Chris, but I'm not going away with him, Olivia.
You're lying. You've always wanted him, always.
You hate me because I'm married to him.
Olivia, you're becoming hysterical. You must control yourself.
If it weren't for you, he'd love me. He was mine until you came along. But you aren't going to come between us any longer.
Olivia, what's wrong with you? Stay away from me.
With you gone, he'll be mine.
Olivia, you mustn't... Olivia!
I'll strangle you with my own two hands like this. And with you gone, I'll always have Chris. Always, always. There. I didn't want to kill you, Amy. But you tried to take Chris from me. Oh, if they find her body here like this, they'll put me in prison. And then I'll lose Chris. Oh, I must do something. If her body were badly burned, they couldn't tell I'd murdered her. Yes. Yes, that's it. I could say I heard her lighting the lamp, and there was an accident, and her clothes caught on fire. I was helpless. Yes. Yes, that's it. I must burn her body. And then they'll never know I killed her.
The weeks that followed Amy's accidental death were full of anguish for Chris. More and more he took to drink, trying to forget the death of the girl he loved.
Oh, darling, you've been drinking so much lately.
Well, what else is there to do?
Oh, Chris, you mustn't talk like that.
Why not? Now that Amy's dead... What difference can it make?
Oh, Chris, please.
The only way I can bear to live with you is to drink.
Chris, how can you be so cruel? You know I'd do anything for you, anything.
You've done enough. I'm through. I'm leaving you, do you understand?
No, Chris, you can't. You're mine, do you hear? You can't leave me.
You've done nothing to make me love you. Now we're through.
No. No, you can't say that. Not after I've killed to keep you.
Killed to keep me? Oh, I see. Amy's burning to death wasn't an accident. Was it?
Chris!
Was it?
Chris, my arm, you're hurting.
It wasn't an accident, was it?
No! She found out that I wasn't blind anymore, that I'd recovered my eyesight. I couldn't let her tear you and spoil everything.
Murder.
I only did it because I love you
so. It's an insane love. A love that destroys everything.
I did it all for you, Chris.
There's only one thing left for me to do.
Chris! Chris, no!
You needn't be afraid of this gun, Olivia. I'm not going to kill you.
Chris!
This gun is the only escape I have from my memories. And from you.
Oh, no, Chris, you can't. You know how much I love you.
Chris! As Aunt Olivia stood there entranced, reliving memories 40 years old, the lamp cast an eerie glow on her face. Lost in the memories of the past, she forgot about her visitor.
Aunt Olivia.
Oh, yes.
You seemed so far away, as though you were recalling memories of long ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the moment, I forgot you were here. Yes. Yes, Chris and I still talk about that masquerade party.
You think I might see Uncle Christopher?
Yes, yes. But we mustn't wake him if he's asleep.
Oh, no, of course not. Here, I'll carry the lamp, Aunt Olivia.
His room is at the head of these stairs, on the right.
Don't you think you ought to have the house cleaned, Aunt Olivia? Everything's so old and dusty.
Oh, Chris won't hear of anything being changed. I do hope he likes this new suit I've ordered for him. He's always been so particular.
Was this his room?
Yes. Now, be very quiet while I open the door. Chris? Chris, are you awake? We have a visitor.
Is it all right for me to come in, Aunt Olivia?
Yes, yes. But you mustn't disturb him.
I won't. It's so dark in here, and this lamp doesn't give much light. I hope Uncle Christopher doesn't...
Oh, you've dropped the lamp. He's awake now. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Chris. I told her not to make any noise.
Miss Bradley, where are you? Are you all right?
Answer me.
Help! Help!
Yes, I thought I heard you screaming when I came in. It's kind of hard to find my way around this small flashlight. What's wrong? Why'd you scream?
Over there. In that corner of the room.
Well, there's nothing there but a bed. Oh. It can't be.
Oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
A glass coffin with a skeleton in it.
Isn't this a lovely suit, Chris? It just came. And I also ordered some fresh cigars for you, darling. Is there anything else you want?
And so ends the tale, To Have and to Hold, as it is written in the sealed book. The body of Christopher Drake, which for 40 years had been encased by a glass coffin, was removed from the old mansion and buried. Shortly afterwards, Olivia died. Her last words were, "I'm coming, Chris." Be sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of August, 1945 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Bringing to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.